Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hello, and welcome back to Oddvice.
This is Krista McAtee.
And this is Alex Coe.
And we're Oddvice.
And this is a podcast.
I've always wanted to take a class to teach me how to like articulate like a newscaster.
They probably have a million of those in New York.
Yeah,
that's
true.
And it's probably some rando in like his apartment in Brooklyn. He's like, yeah.
He's got an ad on Craigslist.
But he's so good.
He's been doing it. For years.
He's trained, and he has like signed pictures with people, like the people he's trained.
Like, you know, when you go to restaurants and they have.
That's also every New York restaurant.
The Benihana in Concord.
Yes.
They have photos of E40. I'm pretty sure, E40. Yeah. It's just like the chef. I don't even think it's the owner.
No.
It's the chef and who, like, whatever famous person. And then there's like those D-list famous people that come in and they're like, I want to get on the wall.
It's like the people on the Warriors that are like benched the whole season. Right. They're like, hey, we got a Warrior in here. Like, we got to take a picture with them. It's seriously.
You know what? We should try and get on the wall.
Yeah, we could probably.
We can finesse pay something.
Them. We'll pay them to put us on the wall.
Right.
I would love that. I wonder.
I bet you like their nephew or their niece listens to us.
I hope. I actually, last night on my date, two girls, if you're listening, hey, they were like, hi, Kristen.
Oh, did someone recognize you?
Yeah. It's like, I want a date right now.
Oh.
Yeah, it was fine. But like,
would it like flex though?
Right. No, it's fine. Cool. Yeah, he kept walking. But it was this bar. We actually had to leave this bar because it was so fucking loud.
Oh,
like,
we were screaming
at each other.
Yeah, that's no place for a first date.
No. So we just got one drink and dip. But yeah, when we were leaving, he kind of like, he kept walking and then I was held back and I was kind of glad he didn't notice. But then later in the night he asked like, wait, is that what happened? I was like, yeah.
Cool. Actually, a couple weekends ago at Botanica, someone was walking from, they recognized me from behind. Whoa. She was walking past me and
weird. Cause like you guys don't see us from behind literally ever.
I know. But you know what I was thinking? Like if I ever saw, even just like, you know how we follow people like on Instagram who we've never seen in real life.
Right.
I feel like if I saw someone, you could almost like feel their energy.
Yeah.
Like you could almost just know. And I was thinking, because my boyfriend was facing the like her direction, so she probably recognized him.
Okay.
I loved it. If you're listening, hi. She walked by and she was like, love the podcast, and kept going.
Great way to do
it. Love. And I was like, oh, like it took me off guard because I obviously didn't see her coming. I was like, oh, thank you. And I like turned back and I was like, that's cool.
That's a dope way to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I love it when you guys come up to us regardless, but like some people are so like fucking chill about it.
Yeah. And, like, that was such like a New Yorker
experience. Like I'm not going to like fangirl, but like, hey, love the podcast.
Yep.
Like respect and then keep it moving.
Keep it moving. And she was like with her group of friends too. Like,
right. Had to say it.
Love it.
No, yeah. It's the best. So if you ever see us.
Say hi.
Please say hi. I know I tend to have like a resting face that might not be approachable. I've been told that.
Yeah, me too.
But like, I'm just resting.
My like resting face is like, I'm pissed.
Your resting face is like.
My eyebrows.
Yeah, you furrow your eyebrows.
Yeah, I'm like confused all the time.
Yeah, you're always like, what the fuck?
I can imagine that people would
be like. You're constantly just like in the middle of a big thought.
Did I ever tell you, this happened years ago. I think it was in North Hollywood. It was the morning and I was on my way to like a doctor's appointment or something. And I was walking through North Hollywood and I obviously like had my resting bitch face and a guy was walking towards me and he goes, hey, try and have a good day today. You could smile. And I was like, okay.
And you just like force a smile.
Yeah. At first I was like, What? It was kind of a weird thing to say.
Did
but then
say
I was
it
like,
weird or was it creepy or was it like nice?
I think he just saw my face and assumed I was actually mad about something.
Right.
And I think he was a little bit concerned.
But you're probably having the best day ever.
I was like, you just looked like on that. My way.
No, sometimes like when Alex is deep in like a project at work and you're on your laptop and you like, I don't bug you because you're literally like just, I can't even like fully do it. Like you, it blows my mind.
Yeah. I'm so locked in at work.
But like, relax.
And the thing is like, I'm just so hyper focused. Like I'm counting pixels.
I guess it's your focus face then.
It's my focus face.
When like you are not necessarily thinking in deep thought, but you are focused on something.
Yeah.
And you've mentioned you are a hyper focused person. If you're a one track mind, what you're thinking about, what you're looking at is what you're looking at.
Yep.
So I think that's what that face is. And then like back to that guy seeing you. He thinks it's something negative, but no, you're just thinking about how you have 10 minutes to get to where you need to be. And like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then it made me think like, oh shit, like people probably are out here thinking I'm pissed.
Just mad
at the world. And like, I don't want that because half the time I'm in a great mood.
Right. And then the second someone walks up, then I like turn on, I'm like, oh, hi. And like, it completely goes away.
You have to like, I don't know if you do this, but like, I have to consciously be like, okay, lift my eyebrow.
Right. Like relax.
Relax my face.
Yeah. For me, it's my mouth. Like I don't furrow my eyebrows very much, like when I'm in thought or like resting face.
Yeah.
My relaxing mouth, I have like just naturally kind of a little more downturned, like a natural frown, if you will, like jowls right here. So they tend to look like my mom has it too. Like so I know what it looks like from the outside and it is very hissed looking.
Try and do it.
Just like
that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm not moving any muscles. I'm not like your brows, like that's a muscle.
Yeah.
I'm quite the opposite. To not do that, I have to like
force.
Mm-hmm. I have to like slightly, and like this feels like I'm smiling, but I know on the outside my mouth looks normal.
But that like to me, I know you're doing it because that's not how your like face normally lays.
But like I feel like I'm like my muscles feel turned up on the edges, but on the outside it's just straight. Baseline. But without it, it's like a little sad.
Yeah,
I'm kind of drooling from doing that. I don't know why. Yeah. Anyway, why did we bring this up?
We were talking about Benihana.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Ooh, the land and sea. That's my order. The land and sea.
You know what? Maybe I gotta hit up Concord Benihana when I go to the Bay.
Let's go.
Should we go to brunch there? That's what I was gonna say. Do they do brunch? Honestly, they probably have like a yummy breakfast fried rice or something. I just know
they're probably not open. They probably open at like 1 p.
One?
Yeah. Because you can go in for lunch.
Who's going to Benihana for lunch?
You would go there for breakfast, but you wouldn't go for lunch?
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's crazy.
Like a weekend thing, brunch. I wouldn't go for like get energy for the day type of breakfast. I would go for like a hungover.
Like a vibe.
Yeah, like hibachi breakfast.
Fun.
Hash brown. They're flipping hash brown. That's
hash browns
cool.
and eggs?
Hibachi
should,
breakfast.
Should we open a hibachi breakfast spot?
I have no interest in opening a food place. It's just
establishment?
Too hard. Yeah. We talked about that recently. It's just too much work. More power to you if you have one, but like
it's a lot of work.
Absolutely not. But yeah, breakfast hibachi. I think this is definitely a market that could be tapped into.
We would consult.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be great at that.
Yeah.
But I'm going to walk away. You do all
right.
the work.
You
I'll
do
give
the
you
work.
The ideas,
yeah.
But I'm dipping after that. Like I'll give really good ideas and like maybe even help you strategize like where to start, where to end, whatever. I'm not
lifting a finger.
I'm not going to make calls. God, no.
No way.
I can't do calls. I'll tags.
Did you ever get the birthday photo at Benihana? Ever have a birthday there?
I had one. It was with all my coworkers at European Wax Center.
What?
I think I
did. They like take you out for a birthday?
Yeah. And it was just like an easy thing to do. It was like close to where we worked. So
right.
It was just like easy for everybody to do whatever. And like relatively cheap, I guess. But I have the picture and we're all in like our uniforms were black blazers and just like neutral tone, whether it's like black, white, tan, just like neutral undershirts. And we're all sitting there like, because we went right after work. We're all still like in our shit and just like, it's the most awkward photo. My mom actually sent it to me recently, the past few months. She said, who are these people?
Oh.
I was like, oh, it's my old coworkers. Like, they're all really cool.
That's so funny. I want to see this photo.
Caroline.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when I worked with her.
I remember when we, like, made that connection. Like, oh, I know her.
Yeah, and, like, we knew so many of the same people. It's small world. Small, small world.
It's a very small world.
I wanted to share something I learned, not learned, but, like, talked about in therapy. It could be somewhat applied to today's topic, but it's also just something that, like, even after I said it, I said to her, like, wow, I want to say this on the podcast. I'm a little hungover, so we'll see how well it comes out. We were talking about how, you know, what you put out is what you receive. We all know that as far as like energy and whatnot. She helped me put this into perspective of social media. So think about like your For You page. The shit you like, you get more of. You fix your algorithm to like
feed you a specific.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's a perfect metaphor for life.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that you quite literally nowadays customize your For You page, like day by day, like think you guys know what I'm talking about. Everybody's on TikTok. Like the day where you're thinking about finding a recipe for something, you're going to have hella food. The day that you're in your feelings, you're going to have hella of like
life shit.
Yeah. Like photo swipes with like deep quotes and shit. It is day by day. That's exactly how we should be living our lives.
Yeah.
And like,
I love that.
Fully putting out day by day, and it could change by day by day, and you're not committing to one thing or another. I don't know. This might be like a dumb moment to some of you, but when she put it into the terms of social media, it helped me wrap my head around it to apply to real life.
Right.
Because it could be so overwhelming to like apply deeper shit to real life. It feels like, where do I start? And like, right. How do I even wrap
and
my head around
it? And it feels almost like forced sometimes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can tailor your algorithm on your phone and in your life.
Mm-hmm.
It was a cool thing.
I use that, I guess, in a form when I want to, I hate even say like force myself, but when I want to get myself out of like a mood or a rut.
Yeah.
And I have to tell myself, okay, like this could be a good day. Uh-huh. You just make like, you fake it till you make it for that first hour and a half, but then it ends up being a good day because like you force a smile. And they literally say, if you smile and laugh, it will actually change your mood, yeah, even if it is forced.
Because your brain doesn't know you're forcing it.
Exactly.
It's just like, oh, we're laughing now. Okay. Like we're smiling now.
Yes.
Turn it on. But
I'm sure that with you guys. I love that.
I thought it was cool. And I even, this was only a few days ago, but ever since, even on my own For You page, like there, some shit was coming up about like toxic relationships. And I literally like, you know, the button where you could do not interested.
Mm-hmm.
I did that. Like now I'm starting to like, cause like sometimes when you're in your feels, it's like nice to read those things and like you makes you not feel alone and whatnot. But I'm like, I don't need to be fed this anymore.
Yeah.
Like
it almost keeps you.
Exactly.
So like to use that to your advantage. And yeah, if something's going to keep you in a certain mood or headspace, why not make it something that you want it to be rather than something that you're at right now?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can completely customize.
Love that.
You can customize your life.
I love that. Very cool.
Customize your life. I did a paper on that in college, and it was titled Customize Your Life. And I talked about, well, this was back in 2014, so it's definitely a dated topic now, but it was about the boom of customizable things in the service industry. And I did like a whole paper on it.
Wow.
And like Chipotle and like frozen yogurt and how everything's like.
Do you think you could find this paper?
Yeah, absolutely. I have it all. I completely forgot about that.
We should do a live reading of it.
Oh, could you imagine? How boring. It's probably written so bad. No, I was a good writer.
No, you're a good writer.
But like, it's probably so like, hit the word count.
Yeah.
But Fidum was asking some crazy shit of us.
Yeah.
Fidum was like,
I threw in some crazy words.
You had to, because they, some classes of mine, not all of them, but like the less creative ones, they really were like, oh no, I need like 10,000 words. Why would you force me?
If I'm getting my point across in two pages, why do you need?
Shouldn't I get like praise for that?
Right.
I got it like the shortest.
Right.
But most efficient.
Oh, I want to write a paper so bad.
I was actually looking at the shit I need to do for acupuncture to enroll, and you have to write a paper.
Just one?
Yeah, you have to write
a thesis
on what got you into acupuncture. What do you feel you can bring different to the practice, and like what are your goals after, and like what part of acupuncture do you feel like you want to hone in on?
Okay, so you write this paper at the beginning of the
to get in. I guess so. They're just not letting like anybody in,
right?
Which
Josh Mo,
it's medicine. I don't want just anybody poking needles into me.
Yeah.
No, thank you. I'm cool with that. Speaking of needles, I was saying,
should we get an IV drip?
I was gonna say something a little different, but that actually sounds kind of nice,
isn't it?
Yeah. Well, no, I was gonna say I was thinking about getting Link acupuncture for her hips.
Yeah, do they doggy acupuncture?
Yeah, doggy.
Do you see that TikTok
readjust dogs?
Yeah,
I couldn't do that.
The dog chiropractor, It's a little suspect.
I don't think they need that.
It's all, yeah.
But like, what do I know also? Like, that right. But like,
how
opinion.
Do you even discover
how to do that? What was the error? Like yeah. when they were doing, when you had to learn that, there had right. to have been moments
trial and error.
Fucked up the animal. Yeah. No, I wouldn't do that to Link, but her, I guess I should sure. tell you guys if you don't know, Link's hips are just kind of bugging her. We had a little episode the other day where she ran up onto the bed and she yelped. And the like following 3 days after that, I could tell she was kind of walking a little more slow and like her vibe was a little lower. But today's actually the first day where I feel like she's
back to normal.
She's normal.
Yeah.
But yeah, I want to start taking at least some proactive care, if that could be acupuncture.
I think so that joint it. Stuff that you also got her.
Yeah, I got her these like joint treats that are supposed to help. Side note, if you're on visual, did you guys notice we got new lighting?
Oh, yeah.
Let us know what you think. This is the second time we used it. The first time was on Patreon, and we asked you guys on Patreon how you felt, and a lot of you guys were saying to warm it up a little bit. So now we made the lights warmer. Is it too bright? Is it too warm? Should we go back cool tone?
These lights are, we upgraded big time.
They're so much better. Guys, the lights we were using before were these cheap ass
Not
Amazon
even
ones.
Like good quality from the jump.
No. They were just like lights. And
yeah.
honestly, we got them because when we podcast on the couch, we have those two windows that gave us a lot of light anyway. So they were really just intended for like supporting lights. But then now that we moved the set like further back in the apartment where we're not near a window, we were still using them, but they were never intended to mimic natural light. They were just supporting lights, like I said. So now these, oh my God, even looking into them,
they're
bright.
Bright.
These are like studio real lights. It's just crazy. It's season four. We're finally upgrading
right.
our fucking lights. But
we could fully customize them too. So if we ever want to do like a after dark, we've been talking about doing an after dark episode. We can make them pink, purple, blue.
You name it.
We could be any color you want.
I could be brown. I could be blue. I could be violet sky.
That's crazy. I just turned off our overhead light and it didn't
like,
do
really
much.
Really didn't do much.
That's nuts.
Damn, these are nice. They were expensive too. So subscribe to our Patreon. Yeah, no, they were really fucking expensive. But worth it.
Worth it.
Let us know what you think.
And we're crisp now.
No, I'm Kristen.
Oh, crispy.
Crispin. Aspen.
If you were to pick, I already know this answer. Never mind.
What is it?
If you were to pick any name to be.
Right now?
Right now.
Stephanie.
I knew that.
Don't ask questions you don't want the answer to. What about you?
I really like my name.
You fit. Your name fits.
Yeah.
I couldn't see you.
And you know what? I came across a TikTok of this girl just like going in on having a unisex name. And it didn't click until like my early adulthood that I had a unisex name. Yeah. I always thought my name was like only a girl name, but then.
I guess I'm biased because I only associate your name with a girl name, but that's because you've been the only Alex I know forever.
Right.
I really don't know any other Alexes. I don't think.
We
went to a couple Alexes.
I can't talk, you guys. I'm also a little hungover.
Yeah.
This is going to be a rough one.
It's just crazy, though, because we really didn't drink that much.
No. I had a lot of sugary drinks.
So.
Yeah, they do it to you. We went to high school with a couple girl Alexes.
I'm sorry. There's something really weird floating in my drink. Ew.
I have to see it. What is it?
I don't know.
Is it a bug?
No. It almost looks like a loogie or something. See it?
Yeah, it looks like an eye booger.
It's probably mom's eye booger. She's a stinky girl. I guess eye boogers. Please excuse me. I'm going to go.
Please excuse my dear Aunt Sally.
I'm going to go pour out my water real quick because I'm really thirsty. Okay. I fixed my water.
Nothing floating in it?
I didn't look.
Oh, you should give it a good check.
I trust it.
Yeah?
Yeah. You know what? If that's what fucking kills me, my time to go. Before we continue, we're going to take a quick break for our sponsor. Today's sponsor is HelloFresh. You guys know how I feel about HelloFresh. The number one meal kit delivers fresh meals to your doorstep each week.
Everything in your box is farm fresh and comes with pre-portioned ingredients. I love that because there's no waste.
There's no waste. And everything also comes with a recipe card, step-by-step instructions, and there's pictures. So you really...
They really make it easy for you. You guys know Kristen's the chef in the house.
Guilty.
So when it comes to me, I really do need that step by step.
Yeah. I mean, even being, I'll call myself a chef. There's days where like I don't want to think.
Put your mind there.
Exactly. I can like you know, put on a podcast or something. And then I could just look back to the pictures or read like the quick little blurbs, and it could be kind of mindless.
It really does the work for itself.
Yes.
You could really tailor your boxes to what works for you that week. You could do 15-minute meals. You could do family friendly. They have really healthy options. They have a lot that you can customize to make it easy for your week.
The box I like to do is the Fit and Wholesome box. And we got this meal the other week, you guys.
I actually haven't stopped thinking about it.
It was so good. It's the onion crunch chicken with mashed potatoes. Unreal. So you can also customize the meals you get in your box. You can pick them each week, or you can randomize them. I kind of like to do that because then it's a little surprise.
Keeps it fun.
But if you see the onion crunch on there.
Get it. Oh, it was like such a home cooked meal.
Yeah, like hearty and like felt like a school night meal.
Yes. Yeah, you can actually choose from 45 different meal options each week, and you could do market add-ons.
So if you guys want to check out HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit, go to HelloFresh.com/advicefree and use code advicefree for free breakfast for life. That's one breakfast item per box while your subscription is active.
That's free breakfast for life at HelloFresh.com/advicefree with code advicefree.
Thanks, HelloFresh. I am excited to get into today's topic. It's something that's been very highly requested. Mm-hmm. And I guess like we never really knew how to approach it. And I finally just posted on Instagram like where you guys kind of want us to go with it. And a lot of you are in the same place, which we're not surprised. I feel like anytime we open up our DMs to like
what you guys are going through,
it's yeah, you're all in it together. We're all in it together. So,
and I think especially at this age too, this is one of those like early adulthood things that everyone faces, and everyone's like, how do I go about this?
This is different than everything I know before.
Yeah. Because in school, when you're forced to be surrounded by people, it's easy to gravitate towards people that are like you.
And it's easier to be like people because you go to the same school, you're learning the same things.
You naturally have more things in common.
Right.
But in your adulthood, when you're just like thrown into the world, it's hard to find people to gravitate towards and maintaining adult friendships. So,
yep. We want to talk about maintaining adult friendships, how to make friends as adults, like new friends. We'll touch on a little bit of friend breakups and how to go about that, and
long distance friendships.
Yeah, that's something that we super relate to. I mean, our two other best friends are completely across the country, and it is kind of hard to obviously see each other, but even when we do see each other, it tends to be when we're all back in the Bay Area because that's where we're from. But then when we go home to the Bay, there's also so many other people to see, so time is spread thin. And to be completely transparent, that's like this episode is coming at a perfect time because we actually experienced this the other day. So if you don't know, Alex and I have two other really, really best friends. It's me, Alex, Bree, and Leanna. And we've all been friends since like elementary school. We're so fucking grateful that we have friendships from such young ages. The older we get, the more we realize how fucking rare that is. So,
and every time we even say that, people are like, what?
Like, wow, that's like that's rare. Yeah. Anyway, we're all going back to the Bay in February, as we've told you guys. And we were just trying to coordinate a way to see each other. And it really showed us how different it is to make plans as adult friends. And there's so much scheduling involved. And, you know, to wrap it up, some feelings got hurt. Mm-hmm. And we all hopped on a call and everything just to like finally talk about it and also figure out like what we're going to end up doing. Because regardless of feelings hurt, we still got to see each other. We got to make it work. And that whole situation just became the epitome of an adult friendship. And as much as it's about scheduling, it's also so important to not take things personal.
Right.
We are adults now. We all have other people to see, other plans to do. And I think I'll speak for myself, especially coming from like having adolescent friendships, a big part of growing up is realizing we're not each other's number one priority anymore.
Yeah. I think that's the number one thing that you have to just accept.
Yeah.
And like really come to terms with. Yeah. I think just the biggest thing is realizing that as adults, we all have our own things that we're doing.
This can be applied to non-adolescent friendships too. I just throwing
totally,
that out there.
Totally. And just realizing that adult friendships will take a lot of work. Mm-hmm. I think it's the assumption that these things come easily. And once you have the friendships, they just like work for themselves. And there's no pressure. There's no having to figure things out. And like the fact that we all did have to get on that call and like talk things out, that was like the successful part of having an adult friendship, is being able to talk it out and like, yeah, our feelings were hurt, but not like holding grudges or letting it, you know, ruin a friendship. These are things that you have to work on, and accepting that you have to, that adult friendships are hard work, is like the first step to having a successful adult friendship.
Yep. Adult friendships are harder. Takes a lot more work, but adult friendships are also so much richer mm-hmm. because you choose them.
Right. It's something you have to nurture.
Oh, absolutely. But like in school, like there's a lot of friendships. I'm sure you guys can even think of a few that you've had growing up where it really is because it was convenient, because you were on the same team, yes. because you were in the same core class. Like, and not that those weren't genuine friendships and connections, but the work was done. That's why I appreciate, as I get older, I appreciate adult friendships so much more, because
you choose them.
You choose them. And being chosen feels good. Mm-hmm. And like when it's a really rich, great adult friendship that like, you know, you don't see them for a long time, but the second you do, it's like you pick up where you left off type right. of thing. That, oh, like I fucking love it.
It makes it special and it makes it feel almost more trustworthy yeah. and more like, you know, there's no excuse to not maintain the friendship. When your friends are actively choosing you every day, you know that they're doing it because they like you. Exactly. And it's not just convenient.
Right.
So, you know, you could trust the friendship because they love you.
They don't got to be here.
Yeah. They don't. They're not forced to be here in this friendship. Right. So they're like actively making the choice every day to be your friend.
Right. And I hope some of you maybe need to hear that too. If you're feeling rocky about your friendship, like maybe trust that if that person's putting in the work, like they want to be your friend.
Right.
But another thing on the contrary of that, another thing I saw when I posted on Instagram to see what you guys want us to hone in on was people saying, I don't know how to get out of my friendship that I'm in.
Oh.
And like, I feel like maybe those people would hear this part of the conversation and be like, yeah, I still nurture it because I feel bad and I don't know how to get out of it.
Oh, yeah. That's tough. I think at that point, everything I couldn't imagine. We were actually just talking, like sidebarring before this episode, we've never been in a situation where we had to cut off a friendship, thankfully.
I actually had one, but it wasn't like a formal, like, we need to not be friends anymore. We very quickly realized, like, there was a situation that brought out completely different perspectives.
I know what you're talking about.
And, like, just quickly realized where we don't click, right. I guess. It kind of went south really quick, but even that, the work kind of like
the work did itself.
The work did itself. Yeah. Like it broke off itself because it wasn't supposed to be a friendship. Like I want to like help you guys, the people that are in the situations where they're like, I don't know how to get out of this.
I think it just everything like that really, especially at this age, really deserves a conversation.
Yeah.
If they're not in the know and you like fully don't want to be their friend anymore, I think that
they don't deserve that either.
No.
Ghosting is not an option. I'm throwing that out there because a lot of people were saying shit about ghosting. If you've been ghosted by a friend before, I'm so sorry. We were also sidebarring about that before this episode. Like in no world do I think that's okay. I maybe the only exception here would be if they were like an extremely toxic friendship, like right. abusive, verbally, emotionally, fuck, physically. I mean, I'm sure they're out there. Like that's when I think it's like, not even ghosting. It's separating myself immediately because you yeah. are a person I cannot be around.
And that's like a cold turkey situation.
Right. And like time and place for that, like in, you know, at your discretion. But yeah, if you're just like not vibing with a friend anymore and you're worried about how to like let them down, if you will, don't ghost them. I like Alex said, I think it takes a quick conversation. The conversation doesn't need to go that deep.
Right. And you don't need to sit and drag it.
Exactly. And also don't put them down because
right.
just because they weren't a good friend to you doesn't mean they're not going to be a good friend to someone else. It's like relationships. Yep. Some friendships just aren't a match the same way some relationships aren't a match.
Yep.
And it has nothing to do with like one person or the other. It's just what you brought out in each other.
And I think as far as like the actual conversation, short and sweet.
Yeah.
Literally just be like,
this is where I'm at in my life.
I don't think I have the space to nurture this friendship right now.
Yeah.
And I think we should take some space. And I don't think anyone could like fault you for that. To
argue it either.
Like,
no, wait. Exactly. It's like, no, I just literally, you made a boundary.
Right.
And if someone's going to push back on a boundary, we got a whole other issue. But like, yeah, it's a sticky one. I feel like you could also let things naturally fade out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that kind of happens whether you want it or not in some friendships. That's another big part of adult friendships. Like,
yeah, maintaining communication in general is hard work.
Some friendships will also fade out for temporary time periods mm-hmm. too. If you're in one of those situations right now, like sometimes it's only temporary. I mean, Alex and I had one.
We had that for almost 2 years.
Yeah.
Where we didn't really talk.
Yeah.
And I think we needed it.
We were just like, it was no reason. We were just off like doing our own adult shit. I had just moved to LA. I got into a long-term relationship. She got into one right around the same time. We were in our early 20s, so we were like all goo goo gaga for these guys. And like, I was trying to get on my feet in LA, and like, we still spoke here and there. And like, there was a lot of pain in it. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to say it was easy or it felt good, but I always knew deep down it wasn't forever.
Right. And I think that's why, I think that's the difference between the strength of our relationship before that period and the strength of it now too. Your younger, and it goes back to what we were saying earlier, your younger relationships, your younger friendships, they come easy and they're just there.
Convenient.
But we went through the break that we went through because, I guess speaking for myself, I feel like we both needed to grow as individuals. And then after that break that we had, we came back together and now we're in the period of actually like choosing to be each other's friend every day.
Right.
And like, we nurture the friendship. We put the work into the friendship. And that's the shift that needed to happen.
Because we were a kid friendship.
Exactly.
Like, if we would have just stayed in like that kid mentality, like,
I think that's when you're faced with these relationships that could fizzle out, or uh-huh. you talk about all the time, like you outgrow friendships or people outgrow each other. I think that break really did let us do our outgrowing part
right.
individually. And then we came back and we're like, wait, no, we want to be in each other's lives.
Like, I still fuck with you.
Right.
No, I remember our, we went to sushi. I came home. I was
sushi, or was it?
It was sushi in Walnut Creek. Cause I remember I got extra ginger.
What sushi place? The nice one? We didn't get the nice one.
Yeah, no, it was.
Was it the nice one?
It was nice. It was a nice one. Because I remember.
Did we sit at the high tops?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
I remember that. Was I facing inside? And then the windows were on our left?
Yeah, the window was on my right.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, exactly. And I remember thinking, okay, like that TikTok audio, like the war is over.
Yeah.
Like, I remember being like, oh, this is like, we are reconnected now.
Yeah.
That break we had was not intentional. There and it, mm-hmm. it wasn't a conversation. It was the fade out I was kind of talking about. And I say this because if you're maybe experiencing that right now, like, it hurts, but it might be for the better.
Yeah, let it take its course.
Yes.
Like, I think this goes to show, like, don't force anything.
Right.
If it needs to be forced. Forcing friendships, even if we like did it, like going back to if we didn't have that break and we were made to like force the friendship, I think it would have done more damage than just letting us have our time.
What do you think it would have been? Like, what would our lives have been if, I don't even know.
We're
also just not those personality types. I don't think we would have forced a friendship.
Right.
We
that's why we let the time happen.
Exactly. Like, but it would have happened the same way.
I think forcing things in general do a lot more damage than letting these things take their course.
Right.
So don't let that discourage you either.
To that point, do you feel like maybe there's a fine line of putting an effort and forcing with adult friendships? Like, there's a lot of work, like we were just saying, especially if you're making a new adult friendship,
right.
A lot of like coordinating of schedules and like trying to figure out what you have in common with this person as an adult.
You're saying like, how do you differentiate between putting the work in and then forcing?
And forcing, because sometimes it can feel one-sided.
Yeah.
And that was actually, that was a big part of our break too. Like, there was a period of time where I was reaching out a lot more. And, mm-hmm. but like, cause I knew we were still going to be friends.
Yeah.
So that in my head, it didn't feel like forcing. Cause in my gut, I knew it was for like the better. And it was, look at us.
We're here.
But like, I could imagine people in a similar situation feeling like, fuck, like I keep putting in this fucking effort. And like, they keep bailing on me. Or I think that's where you really got to look within. And
it's the gut feeling that you had. Like,
exactly.
I think when you sit down and like really look at it from a 360 and look at the other person's perspective. Look at what you're working hard for. I think you kept putting in the effort because you knew that our friendship was this, what it is currently, and like right. the potential of what it could be. If you're forcing something, holding on to what it was, and you're neglecting that
it's evolving.
Good that's point. That's when it's turning into forcing. But when you're putting the work in because you know, oh, they're just off doing their own thing.
Right.
I know this is going to be worth something because we could have this friendship. I think it is a gut feeling. I think you'll know if someone's trying to pull away from you. It really is just like looking at it from that 360 perspective and being honest with yourself and having the conversations too, because even like those couple times that we met up for lunch, we talked about it.
Yeah.
And we addressed it. We weren't like naive. We weren't like, oh, everything's fine.
Yeah, that's another big thing too. Never act like that.
Don't act like everything's fine when it's not. Addressing the negative space that you guys have in your relationships and being honest about that.
You can read a lot from that type of conversation too.
Right.
Like, I'm about to get vulnerable. How are they actually feeling?
Right. And the fact that we were able to sit there and both be like fully honest with each other. We knew we were like, yeah, we were having our separate time apart, but we knew we would end up back together.
I bring this up a lot, but it really was a pivotal point in at least my side of our friend break during those years. I was at the Pink Taco on Sunset Boulevard and I was with Scott and I started crying. Granted, I was hammered, but like I started crying and I was
that's
like,
that's how we do.
Right. And I remember him we were like super new in our relationship too. So he was kind of like, is this how she is? And that's exactly how I am. But like, I remember in that moment, you know, just expressing my feelings, blah, blah, blah. And he gave me the perspective of not taking it personal.
Yeah.
He's like, well, yeah, she's also doing what you're doing. She's also just got into a relationship. She also, you know, just moved. Like, she's also exactly your age, doing the exact life things that you're doing. I mean, I know we already said this, but like, that's why I can't stress enough not to take it personal.
Right.
And that was a big turning point, because when the times where I was taking it personal, I mean, it hurt. I was picking apart everything. Like, did I do something wrong? Is that why we're not friends anymore? And like, it's so easy to blame yourself. But if you have to try and dissect situations right. that much, like, maybe you're not. Like, you're not the problem. Like,
right.
It's just a natural progression.
If you have to like nitpick to find the why or like the how, there's not always a why.
Don't nitpick to find it. No. To find it, you kind of need to step back. And that's what I did. I was like, I'll reach out whenever I feel inclined to, or if I need to talk to her about something.
And that's the thing. Like, we never stiff-armed each other. No. It was never like.
Well, because we didn't break up for like a reason.
Right.
We didn't break up.
Right.
We faded out.
But I think if, like, speaking to those of you who are in the situation, like, currently, if you're feeling stiff-armed, that's another way you can kind of distinguish between forcing it and, like, nurturing something that needs to be nurtured.
Yeah.
If they're stiff-arming you and they don't want to talk to you, they're not, like, they're fully not answering calls, not just, like, not answering calls, but, like.
It's a big part of it now. Like, yeah. Even, like. Oh, we all do it, even with like flirting and shit. Sending memes on Instagram.
Right.
It's a currency now. It's right. a form of communication. And if people don't bite what you're sending. If they're
like leaving you on red.
It hurts.
I think that's a big sign of forcing.
Yeah.
You know, because we'd always respond. We'd always call each other back.
It might not be right away, but there was very little silence. And if there was silence, there was a reason later, you know, sorry, I was crazy work week, whatever, or, you know.
Yeah.
And so on. But
it was never personal.
It was exactly.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, God, I just can't stress it enough. Apply that to everything in life, though, guys. Like,
don't take it personal. It's very rarely you.
We all work the same.
Mm-hmm.
The way we all constantly analyze that word we said, the way we said it, even after every fucking, we've been doing this for 4 years. Every time we turn off these goddamn cameras, we sit there and we're like, was that a good episode? We analyze everything, right? 99.999% of the time, the other person is just as like introspective. Mm-hmm. And at least I fucking hope. And like asking, you know, analyzing themselves that much that they're not worrying about you as much as you think they are.
Right.
Like, we're all just in our own.
Everyone's bubble. Worried about themselves.
In like the best way and the worst way.
Yeah.
It depends how you look at it. But like, nobody's thinking about you like that. It's It's rarely that deep.
It's one of those things that actually, this is a little like sidebar, that really taught me to like not give a fuck about what other people think, mm-hmm. because they're not thinking about you.
Yep.
There, no one's remembering how you looked on that day. No one's remembering how that shirt fit you or what your hair looked
that
like.
That pimple you had on your face.
Yep. Like, no one went home after that interaction and was like, oh my God, did you see that girl's pimple?
That's like, crazy. Like,
no one's doing that.
And goddamn, if they are, they are so small-minded. And that's a rude thing to say, but I'll say it. You are so small-minded if you take up majority of your time to just talk about other people, period, but talk about things they can't change or, you know, things that you clearly know that they probably didn't feel good about either.
And that's sad for them.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they're just small-minded. Like,
yep.
And you don't even want them in your fucking life.
Like, right.
Bye.
And that even more so has nothing to do with you.
Right.
That's even more of a them problem.
Exactly. They take up their time to talk about this type of shit because they have nothing else to talk about or they're avoiding something they need to be talking about themselves, or that goes on for years. But okay, now I feel like we should talk about making new friends as adults. It's obviously a very hard thing to do for all the reasons we've listed, but they just look a lot different. You don't bond over the same toy that you liked in the toy box. You most of the time you're bonding over life experiences, or I mean, I've had friends in the past that were coworkers because we straight up bonded over work itself and they became really good friends. And yeah, it could be hard.
Making new friends for me is like such a daunting thing.
It's fucking hard.
It's hard, and it's honestly, I feel like maintaining the friendships that I have is a lot of work already. I'm very, very rarely in the headspace where I feel the need to like nurture new friendships. I feel like I'm not much of a, like a, I don't know if this is going to sound bad, but
it doesn't.
I'm not such a like new friend person. I don't think about it a lot. I think
switch your perspective, dude. That sounds pretty fucking rich to me. The fact that you are so happy in your what you already got,
yeah,
that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, even thinking about like when we moved to New York, a big part of the like box that I wanted to check off being in a new city was building a core friend group out here. After a lot of talk with my therapist about this, I had put in my head that I would almost like recreate, or not replace, because like nothing could replace the core friends that I have, but recreate the core friend group that already existed in my head.
Yeah.
Out here, because I mean, we talk about our Bay friends all the time, and they like, we all grew up together. We're so close knit. We celebrate every birthday together. Like, we see each other as much as possible, and we still feel like kids around each other. And I wanted so badly to have this out here. When we started to go out and we started to put ourselves out there, it became more and more apparent that that wasn't a thing. Like, I wasn't out here. I shouldn't have been out here thinking that I needed to recreate something like that, because it quite literally cannot be replicated, and it already exists. Like, I already have that.
Right.
And I didn't have that perspective that I have that, even though it's across the country, I don't need that same fulfillment here. I started like realizing, oh, okay, I don't need to like make new friendships, because I already have that. Like, I have you.
Right.
I have all of, you know, like I just said, all of our core friends in the Bay Area. I don't know. I'm not in a place where like I want to go out and like meet a group of friends, a group of girls at a bar or restaurant. I don't know.
It does not sound bad. I'm sure all of our billions of listeners we have right now live are going to relate to that. And that's where I think a lot of friendship building is also personality types. My side of that, I love making new friends. I love making adult friends. Like, I'm actually tomorrow I'm hanging out with Chaz.
Oh yeah.
Remember her?
Yeah.
So we met her through like another mutual friend, and like, but that's also just my personality type.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's a personality type thing,
and
one's not better than the other. One's not like healthy versus unhealthy, bad versus good. It's like that's just you. And that's why I said, like, I think that's a really great place to be. You are so satisfied in what you already have. That's gratitude. Like, that's comfort. That's like the epitome of just being so okay with where you're at. And a lot of people don't even have that. So not to, you know, not trying to not make your stance here sound valid or anything, but yeah, I that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's just personalities.
Even you saying like, this girl Chaz that we met, like, cool,
She's so cool,
so dope. She like, she's a therapist, right? Uh-huh. And she's one of those women where you look at them and you're like, wow, like she did it.
Yeah, she's so cool.
She's so cool. And like all the pictures that she posts on Instagram, she's just like a fucking badass.
Yeah.
It is actually like daunting to me, the thought of like if I was in your place, going to lunch with her, like just her, and like forming a new bond. Like, yeah. I actually don't want to do anything less.
Valid.
And I hope this doesn't come off as like me sounding cold or like,
if anybody thinks that's cold of Alex, then you need to fucking open your mouth. It's not.
I just don't like, I wish I had the desire that you had for that, but I have zero desire to do that.
So you don't wish you have the desire because you're okay to not have the desire, and that's okay. Yeah. I think that's like a good point to make in this episode too, because I'm sure a lot of people just think they need to go make friends.
That I think that's where this is like coming from. And because there's a lot of times, even like in LA, especially like the industry that you're in, you meet a lot of like individual people.
Yeah.
In your industry. Whereas like in my industry, I have, you know, the company that I have my coworkers and like the company that I work for.
Right.
You meet a lot of like faces who have their own. Is this making sense? Like individuals. You would like go out to lunch with these people. And like, I think I put a lot of pressure on myself to like meet new people and make new friends. But then it felt forced. And I was like, I don't need new friends.
It feels forced because you don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the fine line of things. Like we said, things feeling forced or just straight up putting effort into something. It's kind of a perspective shift to be completely honest. Cause so Chas and I, back to this example, her and I have been, and this is very much something to expect in adult friendships, people. Her and I have been trying to see each other for like months.
Right. Now. You've had a couple things planned.
We had something planned and then I got like hella sick out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. She got really sick out of nowhere. Like, and we've had to keep canceling it. It's kind of a funny bit now. Like even with our plan tomorrow, we're like, wait, are we actually hanging out now? Cause this is crazy. All the effort that's gone into this plan where we actually haven't even seen each other yet. Sure. On paper might look forced, but it's a mutual thing. We're both putting in the same amount of effort, so it's not forced. It's just effort. So it just depends how you look at it. But I think building adult friendships, it does take a lot of commitment. By commitment, I mean commitment to keep trying.
Patience.
Yeah, like schedule shit is such a big part of it, and
not holding people hard. Like, oh, they always bail, or oh, they always change plans or flake. Like, you'll, and it's going back to that gut feeling. You'll know if they're doing it to avoid, but then you'll also know if they're doing it because like we're adults and shit pops up and
literally
schedules have to be moved around.
Yeah,
you have to trust your gut on that one and really like gauge.
Yeah, that's a good point. I feel like I know when someone's just bullshitting, when they're like, no, for sure, like we'll get together sometime, and they keep it like really open-ended and vague.
Yeah,
I don't know, we've all done it, even like drunk at a bar, you meet a girl, you're like, we should totally hang out, like in the moment you have the intention, and the next day it's just like over your head. It happens. It's you know, and don't even take those personal, because that just happens. But yeah, I feel like I know deep down when like the type of plan that they're trying to coordinate, or I don't know, you just know. And it really doesn't even take that much intuition, you guys. This isn't like a even that spiritual of a thing. Like, this, you don't gotta be it's Gandhi to feel it. You know what we're talking about.
It's almost just like common sense. It's like,
yeah,
it's like natural, like reading people. You learn this in elementary school when someone's playing with a toy and you know that they're not like in the sharing mood.
Right. Yeah,
it's one of those.
Me as a kid
all the time.
I didn't start sharing until like this year.
No. What were we doing the other day? We were playing Xbox or something.
I don't remember.
And I was like, you were like this on the playground for sure. You remember that?
Yeah, that's something you say to me a lot. It's no, I like to share if it's like an equal thing, like we play co-op games, so it's like it's a fair game. But like, I don't know. It just depends. Ugh, whatever. I'm working on it.
You were probably the kid who like had a stopwatch.
No, I did not have a stopwatch. No.
Okay, you get 4 minutes with this toy.
I would never do that. But like usually a teacher, they would say like, okay, like I'm going to give you 5 minutes and then you pass it on. The second that 5 minutes is up though, I'm like,
right.
Miss Coates said you have to give it to me. So come on. Like
you held people accountable.
Thank you. It's all about perspective. I hold people accountable. Sue me. Maybe some people need a little more of that in this day and age. Whatever. What are we talking about? playgrounds. Guys, my armpit's actually dripping right now. Only the left one.
Okay. Oh, that one dripping? You got a little.
Yeah.
It's okay. You're a sweaty girl.
My sweaty girl. Oh, speaking of adult friendships. Also, I'll let you know how it goes in my hangout tomorrow. Back to the effort thing. Maybe this will apply to you, Alex, but also if you're happy where you're at, like, does it need to apply to you? There's also a lot of times where, like, I'll do it even when I don't wholeheartedly want to. Mm-hmm. And take that with a grain of salt. Obviously, if I'm, like, drained or I have a bad feeling about someone, I'm not gonna go. But there's times where, like, even tonight. Tonight I'm going to our friend Shelby's, and I'm really tired today. I went out last night.
When it's out of, like, pure laziness, like,
exactly.
I could go
and I should go because I know this means a lot to Shelby. Mm-hmm. And, like, she was excited to invite me. So I'm going to go.
Right.
Like, there's also a line of that when you, like, it's only going to work if you put yourself out there. This really does go with, like, relationships too.
Oh,
it's
absolutely.
Very, like, what you put in, what you get type thing. But
absolutely.
Like, I feel like as we get older, at least speaking for myself, Alex, you could relate. Like, you become a little bit more of a homebody because mm-hmm. you have your own apartment now, and you might have a pet you want to come home to. And it's always just sounds
just
so much
girl.
Nicer to be home and cozy.
Yeah.
But, like, think long term here. If you're just being straight up lazy, like,
right.
Then you're not, that friendship's not going to work. Like,
then
you're
being the one with the lazy excuses, and yeah. that could be read as being pulled away
right.
from the friendship.
And that might not be what you want to portray. So
right.
in that case, just be like, straight up, dude, I'm just so tired tonight. I think yep. I'm going to stay in.
And that's where, like, the honesty that we had
yeah.
with our break, like, carries.
Mm-hmm.
The honesty will carry. And if you're honest about, yo, I'm just hella lazy, I want to be in tonight, that person's not going to be like, wow, they don't want to be my friend.
No, I was completely honest. Like, you can't argue someone being tired.
No.
Like, it happens. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't know. If I ever get that excuse, I'm like, actually, I got that the other day from one of our friends, Kylie. Same thing. We, like, had a little bit of a plan. It was a loose plan, but I went to kind of double check on the plan, which is also something that might happen sometimes.
Yep.
If you really want to be friends with this person, follow up. Hey, are you still down for da-da-da on Saturday? Anyway, I followed up and she's like, honestly, I'm fucking beat. And I said, I get
Perfect.
It, dude. Rot on the couch because I'm going to do the same. It was one of those plans where I was like, okay, thank God. Yep. She canceled too.
Love.
But I would have gone because I want to nurture the friendship.
Right.
But I'm also so glad she canceled because, sure, I want to be lazy too.
Right.
Like, it happens.
It's the honesty part of it.
Right. Adult friendships need a lot of honesty and a lot of vulnerability. Mm-hmm. You can bond with, like, growing up, you bonded over the toy thing, or when you were a kid, sorry, you bonded over the toys or, like,
just
your favorite
being
color
in the same
and, like,
classroom.
Right. Now life is real. Mm-hmm. Like, we go through some real shit. So start, like, opening up to your adult friends. They're probably going through very similar things as you. And
right.
that's how you create rich friendships and, you know, support groups in your life that are beyond just, like, your family or your, you know.
I also think partner. That says something about breaking specific friendships out of their box. We hear all the time that you have the friend that you go out with, and you have yeah. the friend that you can call in at 2 o'clock in the morning because you can't sleep. And yeah. we all have these boxes of friends, but
situational friendships.
And I think if you see potential in breaking a specific friendship out of its box, get vulnerable.
Do it.
That's the number one thing to be like, okay, could I be my 100% authentic self around you
mm-hmm.
without being judged or without them being like, hold on, we don't do that.
Yeah, that's a good kind of, I don't want to call it strategy because that feels
gauge.
Calculated. That's a good gauge if that person should even be in your life.
Right.
In my opinion, if I can't get vulnerable with someone that I've, like, been rocking with for a few months,
yep.
I don't know if I want you in my life then. Mm-mm. Then that's when the situational friendships are kind of toxic. It's like, oh, I can only be this around you, like, then you don't care for me,
my full 100% me.
Yeah, yeah, that's not right either. If this doesn't motivate you to get out of your comfort zone and go make adult friendships because they're so important and they make life 10 million times better, then maybe this will. I found some adult friendship facts, you guys.
Oh my God, love these.
Listen to this. And, like, these are, like, facts. They're like true and shit.
Facts. I'm going to say fact after each one.
Okay, Jesus Christ, that's really loud. Okay, adult friendships create meaningful social connections. Combating loneliness and social isolation comes with creating connections. More than ever since COVID-19, we've seen firsthand the impacts of loneliness and social isolation on people. Fostering meaningful connections through adult friendships can help overcome the negative impacts. And from there, the positive ripple effect only grows. Yeah, loneliness and social isolation. Yes, I'm a very social person, but I also do this a lot. And it takes forcing yourself to get out of it. Because, I mean, I don't know. When I'm in that, I'm like, this isn't doing me any good.
That's one of the icky places that you don't want to stick in.
Exactly.
And you know you want to get out of it.
Exactly. So force yourself to, because loneliness is not good. The next fact, adult friendships can help you live longer.
Whoa.
Research shows that having friends can actually help add years to your life. One study found that adults with strong social networks were significantly more likely to live longer.
Oh my God, we're going to live to like 110.
That's super old. We'll see. It depends. If I'm like walking and stuff, like I'll live. Or as long as I still like have my brain, I'm down.
Brain or body?
Long. I don't know. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
I'm going to freak out. But yeah, but it's true. I think community helps you live longer because through all the phases that you go through in life, all the phases that as 28-year-olds we still don't even know are coming, being able to lean in on someone who isn't a romantic partner, isn't family, someone who, like we said, chooses you for you just because they fucking vibe with you.
Yep.
Like having that all your life, how could that not be a good thing? Like, for humans to confide in. I don't
right.
know.
It probably releases some crazy shit in your brain.
Yeah. Serotonin or something.
Right. All that seri.
All this serotonin. Adult friendships are good for your heart.
Aww.
Literally. Research has shown that there's a connection between social isolation and cardiovascular issues.
Whoa.
Friendships in adulthood can actually help protect the health of your heart.
Oh, I love that.
I know. Aww. Isn't that so sweet? Adult friendships help relieve stress, which obviously stress kills the fucking body.
Yeah,
it's an underrated silent killer that nobody thinks about. But if you're stressed a lot, like you're chipping away. Adult friendships can help keep you mentally fit. A strong mental fitness practice benefits from a community of others engaged in similar practices. To cultivate a strong mental fitness routine, it's important to lean on social connections and friendships. By doing so, you'll increase your resilience, productivity, and overall mental well-being. I know this feels really sciencey, but it did kind of strike a chord in me because, I don't know, I'm very into, obviously, eat healthy and all those things and, like, the things you put in your body, sure. But a lot of where the health of your mind does affect your physical health. And it was just cool to see that there was, like, some research to actually show that.
And I feel like this kind of goes back to, I don't know, this is probably, like, my hungover brain stretching right now. But it kind of goes back to what you were talking about earlier as far as choosing your algorithm.
Yeah.
If you choose to, like, have healthy adult relationships, you're actually doing so much for your brain and your mental health.
Yep. That's a good. See, I brought it up for a reason.
Did that connection make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
That's what I meant to do. That's crazy. You know, you read my mind.
No, I love that.
But it's true. It's the people you surround yourself with, the connections you surround yourself with means more than you think. So if you are not happy in something, get the fuck out. And that applies to relationships too. If you're really happy in something and you're really loving your friendship, tell them. This is something I relate to with us. Like, we don't tend to express our gratitude to each other that much.
Mm-mm.
Because I think we just assume.
We just like, no.
But like.
But it's nice to hear.
It's nice to hear.
Yeah.
So oh, I really love you. I'm going to cry.
I know, me too. I think this is why. Because I think we would just get so sad.
I know. I get really sad.
We could get really sad.
I really.
We're so lucky.
We're so lucky. And I really appreciate you.
Me too.
And it's really special to have someone that, like, you could say some fucked up, cancelable shit in front of.
And we always start every sentence. I'm going to say this because it's you.
But, like, it's true.
And it's followed by the most crazy. Heinous
shit. And then we're like, no, same.
Yeah. Oh, I love you. I appreciate
you so much.
You're like the only one who fully gets me.
I feel that too.
Aww.
And like I love all my friends. I love all my friends dearly. But like, that's why best friend is a real term. Because like, you really are like,
you're doing the best part.
You're really like and one I think, notch up.
And I think that's why, like, I don't feel the need to like make new friends, because like no, like nothing's gonna compare.
Yeah, you're right.
You know,
I'm gonna cancel everything and stay home.
Fuck, we're not trying to make this about us, I promise.
But like, I don't know, we're friends. It's about friendships. Like, yeah. What do they expect? Yeah, so tell your friends you appreciate them and you love them, and it's just so important.
But it's a lot of work. Like, we should say that it's a lot of work. We communicate all the time. Mm-hmm. We're not like fake about if we're feeling something.
Nope. It's not sunshine and rainbows all the time. It even something like this friendship that's come completely natural since 2005 still takes vulnerability and still takes communication and like making sure we're on each other on the same page, or if we're not on the same page, being like, there for each other to like,
and having that like be okay.
Right. And something that like I appreciate about our friendships, I'm such a sissy wama baby right now.
It's okay.
Is times with adult friendships, especially where the other person might be going through a lot in their life, and you might have to pick up. Mm-hmm. And like,
yeah, it's like what they say about relationships. It's not always 50-50.
It's not always 50-50.
Sometimes it's fucking 80-20.
Right. So if your friend's going through it and you're noticing yourself having to reach out a little bit more, have some compassion. It's probably because they're fucking going through something and their mental bandwidth is stretched so fucking thin, and don't take it personal. Yeah. Back to that.
So. It's very rarely 50-50. So yeah. Keeping that in mind and knowing like when to put in the extra work. We know that when one of us has to put in the extra work, when it's my turn to be the 20%, I know and trust that you're going to be the 80.
Yep.
It's, you have to trust each other.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Why do we got to be crying every goddamn episode? Like, can I get a break? I almost put on mascara too.
I'm so glad I'm not wearing mascara. Is it my streaked?
No.
Okay.
Am I?
No. You look great.
Hey, we look good.
Should we go out?
Absolutely not.
No.
I told myself I'm drinking soda tonight.
I'm drinking it. This is apple juice.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I think they put the whole apple skin and all in the juicer.
Good. That's good.
And it was bright green earlier.
Oxidized. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'm going to order some ramen. Are you hungry?
I could eat, but I don't want ramen.
Okay. Well, what do you want, Alex?
I could do like a burger. This is friendship.
Ooh, 7th Street?
Yeah.
Yeah. Your voice cracked. You were like, yeah.
You want to play a game or something?
Yeah. Let's do it. Wait. Look.
Are we done? Did we talk about everything?
Oh, yeah. You guys get it? I think so. I don't know. I feel good about this episode. I think it could definitely maybe take a follow up for Patreon. Let's talk about specifics. If you guys want to like really hone in on like
ask, let us know like what you're going through specifically.
Exactly. If you're not going through anything with friends, how do you nurture your friendships? If you're in a good place with your friends, like let's extend your learnings to everybody else listening. That's my favorite part about Patreon episodes.
Are you a no new friends person like me?
Yeah, I know they're out there. Right? Guys, come on. Please. Just lighter.
Please.
Everyone's like, Alex?
The fuck?
This is an intervention.
I just pictured every viewer and listener.
Oh, the billions?
In the billions. In the same room, sitting on like, you know, those metal fold-out chairs.
And they're all just.
Yeah. And they're all Alex. Like, nope.
Oh, that sounds like a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Happy friendships. And you guys are friends.
Don't force it if it doesn't need to be forced.
Yeah. Or, you know, just listen to the episode.
Just rewind it. Weird. Right, you don't rewind nowadays. You scrub.
Oh, yeah. No, you can rewind, though. Isn't that what the button is? No, you're right. It is a scrub. Line. On, like, Netflix, you rewind, though.
But you don't rewind. It scrubs back 10. It doesn't, like, reverse.
Shit,
rewind is such a tape term.
Right. Okay.
Let that sit.
Let that sink in.
Let that marinate.
Made me hungry.
I know you did. It made me think about my burger patty.
No,
I was
like, oh, they're already marinating right now. No, let's go get burgers.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, guys.
Love you guys so much. Drink water.
Drink apple juice.
Yeah. And go get a burger with your best friend. And tell your best friend you love them. And tell your parents you love them. And tell anybody you love that you love them, even if it feels annoying, because life is
too short. We don't always have tomorrow.
Nope. We do not always have tomorrow.
Wait for us to get.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Love you guys.
Love you. Bye.